It's nice to see so many people I've known over the years and haven't seen in a few years even. And it's always a great meeting. And here we are at the very beginning of the meeting. Can everybody hear me in the back? Okay. So I'd like to give you a perspective of where I've worked for 25 or unfortunately maybe, or fortunately so, 30 years. It's a perspective from the Calhoun Experimental Forest that the Forest Service has in operation since 1947. And I took a group of liberal arts professors there last fall, and we were talking about the recovery of the Piedmont and the restoration of the Piedmont and the remarkable reforestation of the eastern United States. And this professor turned to me, a cultural anthropologist, and said, you know, that sounds like it's a rhetoric of recovery when we looked across the gullies and the eroded soil profiles and so forth. So I would like to pick up on that and see where we can go. This is I'm not formally a part of the Forest Service. I'm fortunate to be a part of Duke University, but I am very fortunate to be able to work at such an amazing place. So I thought I'd just start with reminding us that soil science and ecology, a little larger, grow from very deep commitments to these concepts: balance of nature, equilibrium theory, disturbance recovery. And I'm amazed that both soil science and ecology have notables from the late 19th century, early 20th century. Charles Marbot, who was very influential, created a regional idea and pushed the concept of a normal soil. That got moved into the zonal soil in terms of regional soils that extend over large areas. Very interesting. Called those normal soils. Frederick Clemens had a not a dissimilar concept of climax communities. And there I link the two because of the way these systems were thought to evolve. They gradually evolved toward a climatically controlled endpoint of sorts, or following disturbance, soils and ecosystems succeed, often linearly, back to these normal soils or climax communities. And the objective today is to critique this, this obvious point, but it's so easy for us to slip back into these powerful concepts. So we'd like to critique the too ready use of soil recovery, soil restoration. And it's kind of a view from what the Forest Service scientists in 1947 called the worst of Piedmont conditions. That is, the Calhoun Experimental Forest was characterized in those early years as they wanted to study that place because it was the worst of Piedmont conditions. And just to reinforce this, I think this is a very important thing. It's not just semantic, this critique of restoration. There's problems that have great consequence, and a few broader points that I won't deal with very directly here, but there's $1 billion industry, or $1 billion of activity of what others have called ecological restoration industry. Let's remember that this is a value judgment. When we pick a baseline to try to restore to or recover to, and the public, meanwhile, is possessed with these very powerful concepts and a lot of agreement with hardly any question about restoration ecology when we write it large. But a few points about the Calhoun Experimental Forest, formed in 1947, photo-documented, several thousand Kodachrome images have been archived at COWIDA, which we've recently scanned all of them and put them on the web, photo points that were returned to over time. And meanwhile, this remarkable phenomenon of reforestation has occurred across this upcountry part of South Carolina. Very briefly, on the upper right there, the land use history is what has made this landscape in part so interesting. From over about a century and a half, severe erosion resulted from agriculture on most soils, pastured or cultivated. gullies are rampant, and on nearly all fallowings, all drainages are practically gullied. There are a few exceptions, of course. But the remarkable thing to me, and one I had never appreciated until recent years, is how the valley morphology from the upland erosion has been transformed. And so we have these this new kind of soil that is present in so much of the world called soils developing on legacy sediments. Our general hypothesis is that farming has so transformed this Piedmont landscape that on millennia timescales, reforestation more masks than recovers many ecological functions. We have marvelous watersheds that we've re-instrumented and up-instrumented, and they were several of these watersheds were based on gullied land, and the Forest Service scientists wanted to watch reforestation over time alter the hydrologic response of degraded lands. Unfortunately, in 1962, for some reason or another, an administrative decision was made, and those gauges were pulled out. We have 15 years of data, though, that they collected, and we are in the process of not only re-instrumenting and up-instrumenting, but digitizing those strip charts, which were so wonderfully archived at COWIDA. In any event, part of this up-instrumentation is, of course, applying new technologies like LIDAR, and it's really quite an opportunity to be able to work in such a landscape. And so the point is that recovery is a misleading concept, and this is the point of the talk, because of the very nature of soil itself. And starting in the early 21st century, you started to see pedology books say most soils are polygenetic. This is a very powerful concept, and frankly was new to me not many years ago. And it was Dan Yalan who really opened my eyes to this revelation. And he had a great statement in 1983. He said, "The most important development in all of soil science since Dukashayev was the realization that most soils are polygenetic." So what does that mean? And what does that have to do with recovery? Well, starting with a figure not unlike Yalan made in the 60s, if we look at different properties, and we all know this, soil properties develop through time at profoundly different rates with different patterns, and this applies to a system that has a residence time. Soils have residence times of let's say, centuries to millions of years, maybe tens of millions of years at most, and so this is pretty important. Soil organic matter and carbon build up pretty quickly, you know, especially in relation to the development of argillic clay horizons or hematite and such. And other properties are lost through time at different rates. And so what's important about polygenesis is that soil is a system in which the forming factors change over this residence time of most soils. Most soils last long enough, have residence times of long enough, in which the climate, biota, geomorphology even, much less geosubstrate in terms of considering the aeolian inputs as being a change in the geologic substrate. That changes through time, and so this high-order interaction is a very dynamic thing. So soils are more natural bodies that ebb and flow through time. And the properties themselves have different lifetimes. So consider how incredibly dynamic over a geologic timescale that soils are. And we presented this in a class, and a student asked an innocent question that I'll get to at the bottom here. But consider that soils have been a part, contemporary soils, have been a part of the earth since the first forestation of the continents in the Devonian. We had very advanced forest ecosystems as early as the Devonian. It's about 400 million years ago. Yet the oldest soils on Earth are on the order of tens of millions of years. Those are the oldest soils. So most soils are, you know, tens, decadal, centuries, etc. So a student's question was just brilliant, I thought, in its innocence. And that was, so how many soil generations have there been since the Devonian? You know, 100 generations? Of course, there's no answer there. But it just underlines how significantly dynamic soils are over pedogenic time. Just consider the Quaternary, the last 2 million years. we've had up to 100 significant glacial events. Most of those are tied to the ebbing and pulsating monsoonal cycles of the tropics. So we have changing biota, geomorphology, geophysics even. That goes right to the core of what a soil is. And so soil, by their very nature, are systems that are temporarily changing across a high-order interaction. This was simplified by Don Johnson, I should say the late great Don Johnson of Illinois, who used the metaphor of polygenesis. He used the soil depth, thickness, as a metaphor for polygenesis. And here we have him every 1,000 years, over 39,000 years, looking at a soil profile and its gain in terms of production from the top, organic matter incorporation, or weathering in the below. We have uplift and so forth. And so this is quite a nice metaphor that he's published. And he uses it under the name of soil evolution. I won't go into detail, but that's a very nice metaphor. So what does soil time mean? It means that we all know it means the duration of which the system, the residence time, but it also means which geologic age, given the variability of soil-forming conditions across time. And so soils not only experience variable forcings, over time they accumulate and erase relic features that were formed in the past. How interesting is that? They accumulate and erase relic features. And so soils are archives, and they have paleosol features that are inherited from past formation cycles. My favorite example, and I should have listed a few, I think, last night I was thinking, I should list a few examples. My very favorite example are argillic B horizons that are so common in so many deserts across the world that are basically legacy paleosol features. And lastly, to go to the third P, palimpsest. Soils are a kind of palimpsest. A palimpsest is a remarkable manuscript prior to paper or at the very early times in which paper was being developed. We used animal hides, carefully prepared for the written record. And an animal hide, a palimpsest, could be written upon and erased or scratched off and then written upon again. And so that's how the soil is. It's experiencing polygenetic formation and erasure over time. The most famous is the fact that Archimedes' complete works, which have never been translated, exist as in a palimpsest, and people are deciphering it to this day, underneath lengthy prayers and monk chants that are written on top of it. How great is that? In any event, this is not about Archimedes. It's about the soil, and a palimpsest is a very interesting and wonderful metaphor. So to use the three P words, they are polygenetic, palimpsests with paleo features, systems that are not likely to be recovered. And so in conclusion, consider the recent discovery, quote, of legacy sediment soils. And I say the discovery by this amazing paper by Walter and Meritz. It's controversial, but it's a wonderful paper. And they can come to the conclusion that human-occupied landscapes, their valley morphology is very widely influenced by deep legacy sediments from erosion from the uplands, a new Anthropocene system. How do we recover valley bottoms in systems like that? And so the simple point is that management and science should focus not so much on recovery, but rather on specific properties and processes that are important to perhaps regenerate. And so I say this because soils are far more dynamic, surprising, interesting than any restoration model might suggest. Thank you, Derek, and the rest of you.
We have time for a couple questions for Dan.
Yeah, Henry.
Always enjoy your talk, and I'm glad that you challenged the concept of recovery or restoring. Indeed, evolution is irreversible. Any thermodynamic principle is effective. question for you is that what was then the alternative for us to tell the policymakers for how we manage the soil? So things are evolving, non-reversible, changing, unpredictable in many ways. How do we translate that understanding into the application or policy making part?
So I think we know that, and it's basically when I reread the instructions for what we were all supposed to talk about, it is that to concentrate on properties and processes. But we so easily slip into this recovery idea that I think it's time to frankly abandon it. And I say that for a little bit of controversy because there are leaders of restoration ecology in the room, and I know that they are struggling with these ideas as well.